going to get the steal. Chance for a hat trick. Sergio Aguero.
He's got it. That's the buzzer.
Here's Alexis Sanchez. What a finish.
Four against Bradley. Three. John Wall. What a shot.
Yeah, no. Barcelona is always the best. I couldn't help rushing up.
Oh my gosh. It's an unbelievable breaking.
Roger has won the Grand Slam again. The one and only.
He pitched in the three. He got it.
Take down the turrets. They did it. RNG role, you'll never give up.
Amazing. Equalized. He did it.
He got again. Totti, the king of Rome.
9.
8.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3. 2.
1.
Go!
Welcome back to listen to the World Sports News. I'm Colin.
Hello everyone, I'm Carmel.
Now let's first have a brief look at the essential sports news happened this week.
During this week's NBA tournament, Eric Gordon's three-point guard shot and the Rockets against the 76ers on October 25 was a great afterthought. In the Clippers game against the Blazers on Friday, Griffin played three more points and lost his breath.
In the field of esports, League of Legends S7 China region, RNG and WE failed during the semifinals, fell down right in front of SKT and SSG, the two Korean teams. But this has been the best score in recent years. We hold the belief that we will stage a comeback.
Cristiano Ronaldo once again voted the world's best male player and the best FIFA football awards on Monday. Barcelona's Lionel Messi was second and Paris ST Germany's Neuer took third spot. Ronaldo, 32, helped Real to a brilliant Champions League La Liga double in 2016-17.
As part of the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Bucks, the game played at the Mako and of the Old Stag. In the first quarter to 6 minutes 11 seconds, Irving had a jump shot dead in the lead, and the Celtics had a 13-0 lead and a 17-7 lead.
Now let's linger over this week's NBA hot basketball game. In the NBA's regular season on October 25, the Houston Rockets won a three-pointer with Gordon. 105-104 on the road to gain the Philadelphia 76ers. Gordon got 29 points, who is the player with the highest scores in the Rockets. A true team leader, Gordon scored 27 points and 13 assists. Card penalty scored 17 points and 20 rebounds. Another team, Corpore, still not play because of a knee injury. For the 76ers, Veteran Redick scored 22 points, Obese 21, Contingent 20, and Fultz, who earned the top pick in 2017, failed the game due to a shoulder injury.
Oh, what a pity, but the next day's game was more attractive. The Clippers and Trailblazers had a hard time at the beginning. Though Mr. Rod's three-pointer helped Portland open, the Clippers, Gallinor, and Small Rivers lay up to get in the first quarter of the game. The Portland Trail Blazers substitute, Tim Turner, touches the lead.
The two teams had a Bionard at the end of the game, and Amity was thrown by Lou Williams after breaking Griffin's dribble. The Clippers were let off for a clear pass for, and the Blazers had two free throws. Amity first was two free throws and then took a three-pointer with 5 points from a steal. The two sides were placed on the pitch and 89. And at the end of the day, Gray was never quick enough to ensure that a quick three-point shot and wins ball fall in the bottom of the basket. Severely gripped the offensive rebound.
Then Little Rivers forced his way up. The basket was beaten to his tiny finger in news. And the swift boat trainer quickly restored the insignificant Rivers' finger. After the review watched the video, he decided that Lil Rivers has broken the fall and were now a man with no his wife.
In the final 6.7 seconds, the Clippers had a 4-play and Michael McLean scored twice. the Blazers leading by just 2 points, and at the end of the day, Griffin had a 3-point shot, and the Clippers 104-103 went on to stay unbeaten.
Terrorist organizations will be the World Cup and Lionel Messi as a goal. The Argentina Football Association is very worried. They contacted the Russian government. The Russians said it will fully ensure the safety of Lionel Messi and Argentina.
One of the two posters for the terrorist group is Messi, and the other is the Lushny Stadium in the final of the Russia World Cup. In November, Argentina will now come to the stadium in a friendly match against the 2018 World Cup host in Russia. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has also taken a serious look at the threat raised by the terrorist group, with the government sending out a team of security experts to accompany him and the Argentine national team in Russia.
Next month's international match day, Messi will play 2 games with Argentina in Russia, 11th against Russia and 14th on Nigeria in Russia. Argentina has been placing a blind training center a few kilometers from the center of Moscow.
Well, that's all for this week's World Sports News. Next is the highlight game. Meet you next week at the same time. Bye.
Bye.
Like a small boat on the ocean.
Welcome to today's highlight game. I'm your host, William.
I'm host, Shadow.
Is there anything new about the game recently?
Yeah, I was watching the Formula One race and it was intensely competitive.
I was looking too. It was really exciting. Red Bull's Daniel Ricciardo headed Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton in a closely contested second practice at the Mexican Grand Prix.
Exactly. Ricciardo was 0.131 seconds quicker than Hamilton, who had a spin early in the session, with Max Verstappen's Red Bull ahead of Sebastian Vettel. Vettel was only 0.032 seconds off Hamilton, and the Ferrari driver clings to his fading title hopes.
Well, Hamilton needs only to finish 5th on Sunday to clinch a 4th championship, and if Vettel is exciting in the race, Hamilton needs only 9th to clinch the championship. If the German finishes anywhere else, Hamilton takes the crown regardless.
That's true. The 32-year-old Briton had seemed to be struggling. He spinned early in the second session, following his being nearly 0.5 seconds slower than Bottas in the first. But he ended the session 0.3 seconds quicker than Bottas in an impressively intelligent race simulation run in the second part of the session.
Hamilton and Ricciardo were evenly matched on long run pace when comparing their equivalent laps. But the Australian stopped him after just 4 circuits, while Hamilton went on to carry out a huge 27-lap run. Vettel appeared about half a second slower than Mercedes and Ferrari, but his pace haven't been struck by the fact that his session was disrupted by a posture issue, and he stated that it was not happy with the balance of the car. However, Red Bull do not have the extra power mode in qualifying trim, so will likely have to fight past the Mercedes and Ferraris if they are to compete for the victory.
I share the view so much, and I also heard that Vettel had an infrequent problem halfway through the session when his fire extinguisher went off in the cockpit.
Yes, another Friday that did not pass 100% right, said Vettel, a reference to a spin and then handling problems he experienced in the US last weekend. We had a fire extinguisher give up. Initially, it was just burning, but it had turned out to be a very cold. I had to come and we changed it and lost some time. The car was a bit so-so. Some laps were well, others not so, but the car in general moves quickly. We need to make a little bit. It's more about finding balance and then we should make a good step forward.
I believe this is quite pity. Only 0.5 seconds separated Ricciardo in first place and Bottas in second, while the next bench was tightly matched.
I can't agree with you anymore. Meeting competition report, let's talk about some gossip during the competition.
Okay, Max Verstappen has apologized for the language employed in criticizing Formula One stewards in the wake of his United States Grand Prix penalty last Sunday.
Oh, I interpreted in the light. Verstappen hit out of FIA officials after being stripped of his third place for overtaking outside of the track limits on the final lap at Austin last weekend, declaring that decisions like it was shooting the sport.
Right. He also took aim at one steward in particular, widely understood being Gary Connolly, getting him an idiot and a mongrel after the race. In the aftermath of that Grand Prix, Verstappen told reporters he did not want to hurt anyone in his remarks, though he has ceased to stand by his criticism of the 5-second penalty he received at Austin. Verstappen conceded ahead of this weekend's Mexican Grand Prix that I could have used different words in giving his point, while Formula One race director Charlie Whiting said it would be wonderful if Verstappen apologized for his Austin outburst. Verstappen has responded with an apology on Instagram, suggesting he already said sorry during the FIA press conference and reiterating that he regrets his choice of language.
I consider as celebrities, the athletes should pay attention to their words and should know that people all over the world are focusing on you.
That's quite right. Above is all the news today. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Good evening, our sweet audience. Welcome to this week's Weekly Force. I'm Matt.
Hey guys, this is Steve speaking. Nice to meet you. Can you guys believe that it is the Clippers standing on the top of the Western Conference? I mean, not the Golden State Warriors or the Houston Rockets, but the Los Angeles Clippers. The team who just lost Chris Paul, their all-star point guard this summer. That's a big surprise, I believe, to me and to everyone. The Clippers possess more than one superstar and keeping an unbeaten record in the recent games, winning the four games in a row.
Well, we all think that the youngest team has unlimited talents. Firstly, today we are going to detail the game between the LA Clippers and Golden State Warriors. Estimate that these two teams had met several times, that the Golden State Warriors had won 15% of these games. Furthermore, the core players of the Clippers, Chris Paul's departure is undoubtedly the biggest flaw.
Don't forget the excellent three-point shooter, JJ Redick. He also left the team this summer. It won't be a good idea for a team to put Austin Rivers in the starting lineup. He is a good player, of course, he can break through, but his poor ability of finishing made him easy to guard. But the Clippers are still performing greatly anyway. When you base on the game, what we are seeing is that the Clippers play far more smoothly than before. And Griffin can play a crucial role, obviously, to develop his leadership. What's more, the Clippers also added Beverly to enhance control of the rhythm of the game.
And an aggressive attitude of defense as well. Every team of the league will come to a player like Beverly, because he can help the team both on the court and in the locker room. But speaking of the game between these two teams, what occurred in my mind is Cleveland Cavaliers' initial loss to the Warriors due to the lack of the understanding and the lack of the full adaptation to the team's operations.
But the rebuilt Warriors have the ability to defeat all the teams in the first time, including the prime Cavaliers, so the case is not sufficient, I guess.
However, the Warriors and the Clippers for reinforcement on the basis of the gap is very big, and the Warriors' tag weight is Warriors. Clippers have only two or three sets of the match play according to them, so you don't think so.
But now the Clippers are more competitive and have a good performance in their last few games.
The Warriors have overwhelming. The position has been completely suppressed the other players, and the low call in the Clippers of with lack of offensive ability. Unable to contend with the Warriors. Their core Griffin is on the defense of the Draymond Green. Since the forward position has always been a weakness of the Clippers, Kevin Durant may have an opportunity to control the game and tell the world what a FMVP is like.
Well, the defense is still a problem of the Warriors, and the rebounds won't be dominant. You know, now every team knows how to score depending on the limitation of Curry. And I don't think Pachulia and JaVale McGee can grab too much rebounds or score under the basket with DeAndre Jordan guarding them. In addition, since they have won two championships of the last 3 years, some of the players may no longer contribute to the game 100%. Look at the Lakers in 2003. They just lost their momentum and determination of winning another championship, and they are no longer a dominant team since that season. Maybe that will happen to the Warriors this season as well. And meanwhile, the Clippers are unstoppable. All of the players are eager to prove that they are still excellent players without Chris Paul handling the ball for them. As a matter of fact, they are performing even better.
Just wait and see. It's all for the week's weekly post. I'm Matt.
I'm Steve. Coming next is The Great. See you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Hey guys, this is Yo Man. I'm Alex. Today, I'm going to introduce one of the sports, bobsleigh. Bobsleigh or bobsled is a winter sport in which teams of two or four teammates make timed runs down narrow, twisting, banked ice tracks in a gravity-powered sled. The various types of sleds came several years before the first tracks were built in St. Moritz, Switzerland, where the original bobsleds were adapted, upsized luge or skeleton sleds designed by the adventurously wealthy to carry passengers. All the three types were adapted from boys' delivery sleds and toboggans. Although sledding on snow or ice has been popular in many northern countries, bobsleighing as a modern sport originated relatively recently. The sport had humble beginnings, starting with the successful marketing of hotelier Caspar Badrout, enticed the English tourists to stay over the winter in the mineral spa town of St. Moritz. Badrout, annoyed with the limitations of a season of a mere 4 months for the rooms, food, alcohol, and activities he provided, successfully sold the idea of winter resorting to some of his English regulars. In the 1870s, some of his adventurous English guests began adapting boys' delivery sleds for recreation and began colliding with pedestrians while speeding down the village's lanes, alleys, and roads. The name of the sport appeared when competitors adopted the technique of bobbing back and forth inside the sled to increase its speed. The first informal races took place on snow-covered roads. Formal competition started in 1884 in St. Moritz. It is not known how much the original track evolved in the early years as the three sports matured and stabilized. The first club formed in 1897 and the first purpose-built track solely for bobsleds opened in 1902 outside St. Moritz. Over the years, bobsleigh tracks evolved from straight runs to twisting and turning tracks. The original wooden sleds gave way to streamlined fiberglass and metal ones. The International Bobsleigh and Skeleton Federation was founded in 1923. Men's four-man bobsleigh appeared in the first ever Winter Olympic Games in 1924, and the men's two-man event was added in 1932. Women's competition began in the US in 1983 with two demonstration races in Lake Placid, New York, one held in February and another held during the World Cup races in March 1983. Germany and Switzerland have proven the most successful bobsleighing countries, measured by overall success in European, World Cup, and Olympic championships. Since the 1990s, Germans have dominated in the international competition, having won more medals than any other nation. Now, let's talk about the tracks used in bobsleigh. Modern tracks are made of concrete, coated with ice. They are required to have at least one straight section and one labyrinth. Ideally, a modern track should be 1,200 to 1,300 meters long and has at least 15 curves. Speeds may exceed 120 kilometers per hour, and some tracks even offer tourist rides in bobsleighs. The most famous of all the turns is Peterson. The Peterson is renowned for its trademark 180-degree turn, and 270-degree bank angle, which is a compulsory feature on all Winter Olympic runs. The Peterson is named after the pioneer track designer Heidi Peterson. During the race, it begins from a standing start, with the crew pushing the sled for up to 50 meters before boarding. Though the pilot does not steer, grooves in the ice make steering unnecessary until the sled leaves the starting area, while poor form during the initial push can lose a team the heat. It is otherwise rare, if ever decisive. Over the rest of the course, a sled's speed depends on its weight, aerodynamics, runners, the condition of the ice, and the skill of the pilot. Race times are recorded in hundreds of seconds, so even seemingly minor errors, especially those at the beginning, which affect the remainder of the heat, can have a measurable impact on the final race standings. The Winter Olympics are going to be held in Beijing in 2022. Is everybody looking forward to watching or even trying this kind of sports already? But that's all for your man. Next is The Grit. I'm Alex. See you next time. Bye.
Audience, you are listening to The Great. I'm Cassio. Today, I will introduce you a great football player, Pele. Edison Aaron Stillness Mental Pele Orring. Whatever the name, the memory is the same. Of a world-beating superstar, record-breaking football icon, above and beyond his unequaled achievement in winning three FIFA World Cups, Pele was a genius who was constantly reinventing the game of football. First spotted at the age of 11 by former Brazilian international Wladimir Brinto, he joined Santos at the age of 15 and had not yet turned to 16 when he scored on his first team debut in a friendly against Corinthians of Santo Andre in September 1956. Rising from the bench to net his side 6 goals in a 7-1 win, a legend was born. The world first set eyes on Pele in Sweden in 1958. He was just 17 when he played in his first World Cup, a sly teenager who emerged from nowhere to net up the tournament with his dazzling skills. It's often said that it was player power that earned Pele a place in the starting lineup for Brazil's third match of the finals against the Soviet Union. He had been sidelined by a knee injury, but on his return from the treatment room, his colleagues closed the ranks and insisted upon his selection in attack alongside Vava. Pele arrived at 1962 World Cup in Montreal ready to set the world alight again. It was the perfect stage to showcase his talents, but sadly he aggravated a growing injury in Brazil's second outing against Czechoslovakia and did not reappear. Instead, he watched from the sidelines as his teammates regained their world title. Pele was by now a marked man and the same unhappy fate awaited him in 1966 in England, where he again excited the finals on stretcher, the victim of some fierce track-meeting games against Bulgaria and Portugal. This time though, Brazil joined him in departing the scene early, falling at the first hurdle. Fittingly, it was Pele who scored Brazil's 100th World Cup goal in the 4-1 final win over Italy. A header after a tackle near athletic leap, it was a special feeling to score with my head. My father once scored 5 headers in one match, the one record I have never been able to beat. It was his 12th goal in 14 World Cup appearances, and he remains one of only 2 players to have netted in 4 separate tournaments. Besides scoring, he provided the sideline day of Carlos Abdo to conclude a line pass move with the spectacular final goal against Italy. Tarciso Baglic, the Azurine defender, gave the unenviable task of marking Pele. Was little called as seen, I told myself before the game, he's made the skin and bones just like everyone else, but I was wrong. Brazil earned the right to keep the Jules Rimet Trophy after winning for a third time with arguably greatest team ever. Pele had become a living legend. The day after the finals, Britain's Sunday Times newspaper summed it up. How do you spell Pele? G-O-D. Since his playing career ended, Pele has used his ambassador status to promote his country, UN and UNICEF. Every kid in the world who plays football wants to be Pele, he sighed, which means I have the responsibility of showing them how to be a footballer but also how to be a man. But that is what gods are for, isn't it? Pele scored on his Brazil debut in 1957 in a 2-1 loss to Argentina. His last international was a 2-2 draw against Yugoslavia in 1971. Revealed her turndown approaches from Real Madrid, AC Milan, Juventus and Manchester United to stay with Santos at club level. When he saw his father crying after Brazil lost the 1915 FIFA World Cup to Uruguay, he told him, "Don't worry, one day I won't win it." Pele's father, Danilo, who was also a semi-professional footballer and played as a forward, Pele's parents gave him the nickname, Deco. And he scored 5 goals over 2 legs as Santos beating Benfica in 1962 Intercontinental Cup by an 8-4 aggregate margin of victory. With every touch of the ball, every pass, every dribble, Pele was capable of coming something new, something the fans had never seen before. With a killer instinct in front of goal, an eye for the perfect pass and supreme athleticism, the Brazilian was just about the perfect footballer. That's all for today's The Grid. I'm Cassio. See you next time. Bye.
Cast, producer, Ada, Xu Yang. Anchor,
Letty, Lei Ting.
Steve 赵月央
Journalist
Cassio 李文
Colin 韩文轩
Alex 张恒琪
William 段玉锦
Carmel 王玉梦
Matt 龚高望九
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。